I guess this is the time. There always comes a time when you have to stand up to the responsibility, as nervous as I am. Luckily, this sermon is not about me. When I was asked to prepare something for a sermon by Pastor Curtis, I was thinking of, well, what should I talk on? Should I talk on the current affairs of what we see today? As many of you know, Seth Cox died, and some of us went to his funeral and experiencing losing a life before its time. Talking about evangelism and what I do at our radio station, well, that's about me, so I didn't really want to talk about that, or the struggles of having a kid with health problems, well, I don't want to talk about that either, even though God has brought us through and is still bringing us through that. But I decided to present a topic that would apply to everyone. Sue and I teach this to our kids, and I am sure that to all ages and people, this is an important message that we need to spend a little bit more time on. And the name is A Tragic Love Story. Could this be your neighbor? A husband kisses his wife Kathy goodbye as he heads off to work, bringing the three kids to the church school. On the way to school, they sing hymns with great vigor that their mother has taught them. Back at home, Kathy is relieved that the kids didn't forget their lunch and school books as she heads upstairs to take her shower. Afterwards, she is busy cleaning the house and getting items ready for a church meeting that night. Outside, she checks over her flowers and her outside plants, enjoying the fresh air, calling over to her neighbor Dan, "Good morning." The two houses overlook each other and share a back lawn. Dan is a maintenance worker at a local industry who works the graveyard shift and has lived there for 2 years, about the same time as Kathy and her family. After work, Dan likes to work in his garden in the morning, if you could call it that, for it had a few tomato and watermelon plants and a row of corn. Kathy watches Dan as he works his garden almost every day, and when she's outside, calls over and asks, "How's the garden this morning?" Sometimes she would go over and talk to him as he weeded around the plants. Dan seemed to know a lot about gardening and had answered all her questions about gardening. Dan was always fixing something around his house. If it wasn't the water spout, it was the bird feeder, always something. One day, Dan even fixed Kathy's screen door because the wind had bent it. Kathy was sure to give him a plate of cookies the next morning as a small thanks. It was good to have a neighbor like Dan, always there when he needed him. Interestingly enough, Dan found more to do outside. The lawn needed mowing twice a week, the side of his house toward Kathy's needed painting, and he even planted some flower bulbs she had given him between the houses so they both could enjoy them. One morning, as Dan was doing what he usually does, working on something outside, he looked over to see if Kathy was in the kitchen, but instead, he noticed her getting dressed in her upstairs room. Dan had picked up a new hobby, weightlifting, and would pump iron out back on the back porch as he listened to pop music on the radio. After a while, he wanted to see if he could benchmark his goal, so he had Kathy come over and spot for him. Standing over him as he was laying on the bench with her hands on the weight bar next to his, just in case he needed a little help, as if she could. With great effort, he did it, with sweat beating down his chest. Sometimes when they were together, a comment would be made about a love song on the radio, which would lead into long conversations. Kathy even had a new interest. She wanted to get a suntan. Every other morning, she would lay out back for an hour, enjoying the warmth of the sun and listening to Dan's radio as it played as he worked outside. She even knew how not to get tan lines on her back. It was a big day for Kathy's son. He was 10 years old today, and she wanted to make him his favorite cake. Quickly mixing up the cake, she noticed she needed two eggs, but only had one. Dashing over to Dan's house in her morning clothes to borrow an egg, she knocked on the back door and waited. So she figured she would knock again, a little louder. Dan came to the door just out of the shower, wrapped in towel, opening the door with a hearty, "Good morning, Kath." "I'm making a birthday cake and was wondering if I could borrow an egg," she said. "Sure," he says as he turns toward the kitchen. Kathy follows him to the refrigerator. He opens the door. He opens it and takes out one egg. Not realizing she is so close behind him, he turns around to hand the egg to Kathy, hits her, and drops the egg on the floor and breaks. They both look at each other and laugh. Then there was silence, and their eyes met. There was more than an egg broken that morning. Could this be you? Could this be your neighbor? Can someone please tell me what is the tragic love story that I'm talking about? Okay. Anyone? Okay. We just went over a story of the tragic love story, but unfortunately, there was no love in that story. The tragedy is the family that was hurt because of such a situation as this. And we've seen this over and over again, whether with our friends or with our own family. It's all too real. Answer these questions as we go through this sermon. Could this be you? Why? Or why not? When did Kathy and Dan wander? Now that this has all happened, what would God have Dan and Kathy to do? Can we bow our heads? Lord, we come together seeking to grow together in unity. Lord, we want your Bible to be the only authorized book that we use to learn about you. Thank you for giving us the material that we should not be left in darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be giving the references, so if you do want to take notes, just write them down. I'm going to just go through these quickly. Let's look at what a marriage is. A biblical marriage versus a civil marriage. A biblical marriage is one man, one woman, and one faith, or lack thereof. Sometimes we see even secular people getting married many times. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis 2. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with the unrighteous? And what communion has light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6. We give a public oath to God. Where do we see this in the Bible as a church wedding? A wedding in a church, whether it's by a priest or by a pastor? I challenge you to find it. Examples of weddings in the Bible. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Genesis 24. And Jacob said unto Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go unto her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went unto her. Genesis 29. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and disciples were called to the marriage. Many times we see in the Bible it is just a feast. How was a wedding in Bible times? There was knowledge of the marriage, that the marriage was public. There was an invitation to the wedding feast, which was before, during, or after the wedding, as it was recorded in the Bible. Don't get me wrong, I'm not opposed to church weddings and pastors. I have not seen it in the Bible, but we also need to respect our culture and where we live today. Today, what do we see in a civil marriage? Well, that could be contingent upon where we live. It might be age restrictions. It may be between two men, two women, but this is not biblical. It's Satan's counterfeit of what weddings and marriage is all about. A marriage license. We license our car, our boat, our gun, our dog, so we had better license the marriage with the one that we love to be in harmony with the civil government. When does the marriage contract expire? In a year? 5 years? 10 years? 20? Every marriage engagement should be carefully considered, for marriage is a step taken for life. Both the man and the woman should carefully consider whether they can cleave to each other through the changes of life, as long as they both shall live. Adventist Home 340. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. Romans 7. And Jesus answered and said to them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Matthew 19. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis 2. When does the marriage contract expire? As long as they both shall live, as we read, so long as he lives, let not man put asunder, and they shall be one flesh. What does the Bible say about adultery? Jesus said, You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5. But anyone who commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. Now, when the Bible was interpreted, they didn't have some of the words that we use today. I think if it was translated today, the word stupid would be put right there instead. Lacks understanding. He that does it destroys his own soul. Proverbs 6. There may not be one adult here today who has not been an adulterer or an adulteress, at least at some point in our lives. I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hired in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi 3. And Jesus said unto them, whoever shall put away his wife and marry another commits adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away or divorce her husband and shall be married to another, she commits adultery. Mark 10 and Luke 16. Ending a marriage. According to the Bible, does marriage ever end? Here is how to end a marriage, according to the Bible. Number one, when a spouse dies, as we have just seen, for example, as long as they both shall live. The second way of ending a marriage is a divorce. Fornication, for example. Playing around before a marriage and when a spouse finds out after the wedding. When does the Bible, the Bible does not teach that you must get a divorce due to adultery. The first thing that we should do is to forgive. And I, Jesus, say unto you, whoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her, which is put away, does commit adultery. Matthew 19. Listen closely. Adultery, when a man has taken a wife and marries her, and it comes to pass that she finds no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and gives it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. Deuteronomy 24. Unfortunately, this is pretty common. Even though this reason is given in the Bible, we must not forget what Jesus said years after this. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Jesus said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Matthew 19. So we see that divorce is granted, but also it has a little tag on it. It's because of the hardness of our hearts. I lifted up my hand to them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them throughout the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments by where they should not live. Ezekiel 20. I understand going through this is extremely difficult for probably most people here, because we have family and friends that have had problems in their marriages, and it's extremely difficult. Luckily, personally, I haven't had the problem, but it's so easy to get into. And through understanding this, I think it helps us understand what the Bible has to say to each one of us about this, and we can try to understand the whole picture of what God would want for our lives. These statutes and judgments that are mentioned in Ezekiel 20 were not good. As a Christian, if we were to reflect God's character, we are to forgive one another infinite times. So that would mean that in a divorce, that at least one spouse would not repent or forgive to bring the marriage back into harmony with God's word. Can a person that does not forgive or repent go to heaven? When there is a divorce, one spouse is saying, "I love myself more than I love you and God." Ending a marriage, number three, that we've talked about, with an unbelieving spouse. I know my grandmother has dealt with this all of her life, and it was a very big struggle living with a man that she didn't love, a man that would come home drunk and beat her and all sorts of things. And, you know, she did what she thought was right. I'm not going to say she did or didn't. Well, I think she did, but it wasn't easy. But sometimes there are better ways. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest I speak, I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believes not, and she is pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which has an husband that believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Here we can get a blessing by staying in a marriage that is less than ideal. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. So, with an unbelieving spouse, we are to remain married to them. And God has called us to have peace within that marriage. And that's 1 Corinthians 7. Have you looked in the Bible to see how many people were divorced, who they were, and what they did? Were they Christians or unbelievers? How many do you find? Unbiblical reasons for divorce: mental abuse, financial problems, no love between the couple, a jailed spouse, cannot get along, physical abuse, a mutual agreement, drugs, alcohol, smoking, medical reasons, having an unbelieving spouse, it's not a reason to get a divorce, but it is permitted. Physical desires not met, boredom. This list are unbiblical reasons for a divorce. So what do we do when a marriage goes bad? When either there's adultery or an abuse where it's not a safe place to be? When one is endangered by a spouse, they should find a safe place to go quickly. Nobody benefits from such an abuse in marriage. First thing to do to help correct the problems in a marriage is to pray. Jesus speaking, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Matthew 26. When a couple cannot bring the marriage back into a healthy relationship, outside help may be needed. An example would be a pastor or a Christian marriage counselor. If one or both don't correct the problems and decide to get a divorce, now what? Dating after a divorce. The purpose of Christian dating is to have a commitment to each other as each other learns about the other for possible marriage. If there is a divorced person that cannot remarry, then dating is playing with the fire of sin. Remarriage. Jesus said, "And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery." Matthew 5. There is nothing in the Bible that makes the terms of divorce different for a man versus a woman. I saw that Sister Blank as yet has no right to marry another man, but if she or any other woman should obtain a divorce legally on the grounds that her husband was guilty of adultery, then she is free to be married to whom she chooses. Adventist Home, page 344. So then if, while her husband lives, this is after divorce we're talking about, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she be married to another man. Romans 7. If they would be liable to place themselves and their children in a worse condition by a divorce, we know of no scripture that would make the innocent party guilty by remaining. Adventist Home, 346. Change in disposition. This is what we're called to do, not first try to go for a divorce. Change disposition, not the marriage status. I have received a letter from your husband. I would say that there is only one thing for which a husband may lawfully separate from his wife or a wife from her husband, and that is adultery. Testimonies on Sexual Behavior, page 80. After remarriage, never to return back. Her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. Deuteronomy 24. God commands the divorced not to remarry another so that there is hope for reconciliation. Currently, we see within the church and the secular world that those that choose to get married, about half of them will end up in divorce. And here are some other reasons. First, we don't talk about separation, divorce, and remarriage from a church, point of view, hardly at all. For example, when was the last time you heard Sabbath school or a sermon addressing the sanctity of marriage and appropriate Christian courtship and what to do when it goes bad, etc.? We have to import speakers to talk on a topic and move on. Fornication. This is the shortened version of the love story with secular society and unfortunately with many Christians. Boy meets girl, and in a short time comes the physical expression. Then comes the baby, and then the marriage, and hopefully love. Here, we are going to look at premarital sex. Some prefer the word illicit. My wife, Sue, would explain that there is no such thing as premarital sex, for who's to say that you are to marry the other one? Most don't. Today's society can make a challenge for Christian-like courting. And here are some general things that seem to affect it. People are older when they get married. The accessibility of birth control and abortions. Too many see their parents and others that have less than ideal marriages and don't want to have that happen to themselves. Illicit sex, which is advertised heavily on TV, movies, magazines, public education, and all around us. The unwillingness to commit. College students' education can range from 2 to 10 years or so before they graduate and are in the workforce and ready to settle down. Revealing clothes and common language and expressions that degrade the holiness and purity of marriage. It's easier to quote-unquote love someone than to marry, maybe at first. Homosexuality and other sexual perversions like pornography. Remember, these are generalities, and yet people who are dedicated to God come out unscathed every day. Let's see what we can find in the Bible about adultery. To avoid it, we should be married. 1 Corinthians 7. You will not be satisfied. Ezekiel 16. We need to abstain. Acts 15. Our bodies are not made for it. 1 Corinthians 6. It comes from the heart of mankind. Matthew 15 and Mark 7. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6. God gives the fornicator a chance to repent. Revelation 2 and 9. The saints are not to take part in it. Ephesians 5. For our sanctification, abstain. 1 Thessalonians. We are not to keep company with fornicators. 1 Corinthians 5. God will forgive us of the sin of fornication and adultery, but he will not make us a virgin again. We will have to live with the decisions that we have made. Only in heaven will we be given a new body. Ellen White's final stand on this topic. Did God eventually teach Ellen through the right counsel on divorce and remarriage? And this is a quote from her son. Mother has received during the past 20 years many letters making inquiries regarding the matter about which you write, and she has many times written in reply that she has no advice to give different from that of the Apostle Paul. Recently, she has refused to deal with letters of this character and tells us not to bring them to her attention. My own views regarding this matter, which I believe to be in harmony with the counsel that I have heard Mother give to individuals years ago, and which I believe to be in harmony with the views of the leading brethren and with the teachings of the Scripture, is that there is no blessing to come by breaking up families who may have sinned or have been sinned against before or since they've embraced present truth. And you can find that, Testimonies on Sexual Behavior, page 219. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6. And I can definitely say amen to that. God is here to forgive. This has helped me to become a better husband, and I hope it helps you to become more Christ-like, whether you're single, married, or divorced. Are you a Dan? Are you a Kathy? Signs of the Times, October 16, 1893, reads, "The warning that was given to Lot comes down to us who lives in this degraded age. Escape for thy life. The voice of the tempter is crying, peace and safety. The evil one would have you feel that you have nothing to fear and bids you eat, drink, and be merry. Which voice will you heed? The voice of heaven or the voice that lures you to destruction? The Redeemer of this world, the compassionate friend of man, discloses to our eyes the fact that there is a sin greater than the sin of Sodom. It is that of sinning against greater light. Those who have heard and have not heeded the gospel invitation to repent and have faith in Christ, the sin is greater than was the sin of Sodom. To those who have professed the name of Jesus, who have professed to know God and to keep his commandments, and yet who have misrepresented Christ in their daily life and character, who have been warned and entreated and still dishonor their Redeemer by the unconsecrated lives, the sin is greater than that of Sodom." John 8:10. When Jesus lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. Lord, prepare each one of us to reflect your character as you would see fit. Lord, we don't desire stumbling blocks in our way for others to see, for others to fall over. Thank you that you give us hope and encouragement. And Lord, we always can come back home if we have faltered. In Jesus' name, amen.